One day I saw one very famous man of God in this country. I went somewhere and the books were on sale, so I wanted to buy one. So a friend of mine who's not a fan of his, he said, "Why are you buying this man's book?" I said, "I've never read his book, that's why." I said, "There must be something he's saying that I don't know. So let me buy the book and read, get my portion. Lest we get to heaven." And he said, "God, I said, thank you. What, you know, I told you guys to do like this." He said, "I didn't know, sir." He said, "You didn't know, but I told this man to preach it. Did you not preach it?" He said, "Sir, I wrote it in 15 books. Bank, you didn't read anyone. It won't be good. I don't go to deeper life, but anytime I see WF community, I collect it. I listen to it." No, I'm not joking. When we're preparing for my dad's funeral then, so I took my sister to Akure to go and shop, you know, buy a lot of things. She picked one of her friends, and when they were in the market, you know, two women in the market, it's not good for the man driving, if you know what I'm trying to say. But to prevent quarrel, I collected the WF Kumuyi, which I found in the house. They had bought them for my dad while he was ill to be listening to. Do you understand? I just collected the thing. Sat in the car while they were going from one place to the other. I just sat there, kukukule, you know, just drop plenty. I don't go to the bad life. That's the kind, look, I was raised under such circumstances as a young believer. So when we came out and people were trying to do like, it's our church or we die. I said, me? Listen, my friend. I was not so taught as a young believer. Look, one day I came to town. One man said, that's when I first came to Enugu. I went somewhere after we started printing tracts. I went to a bookshop to give them the tracts, give out the tracts to the people and just ask them to help us give to anybody who buys. So the guy saw me and said, you're a preacher? Yes. So we started talking. Along the line, he said, which church do I go to? I said, I'm new in town. I don't really have a church yet that I go to, but that for now, I go to this particular church, but some Sundays I go here, but I've not really settled. I'm new in town. He said, it's obvious you don't know what you believe. I collected my tracts back from him. You this mental look. Give me my tracts. He said that he's not sure he should read the tracts. I said, who gave it to you by force? No, but you can't collect. Give me the, you know. I snatched it from his hand. Told the girls there selling. I said, this guy, I don't think he's normal. Just say. Because, you know, because he expected to say that, yes, you know, I was elevated to the rank of assistant district pastor in the region in Lagos, and I'm now in town now, so I'm now the pioneer. No, nothing like that. I left Pastor Podu in Lagos. I came to Enugu. There's no Covenant Christian Center here, and peradventure there were. There's no guarantee I'll go there. No guarantee. Did you die for me? What's wrong with you? Are you Jesus Christ? No, there's no guarantee. I'm serious. There's no guarantee. No, that's just the way. Look, but good enough, he's my type of person. Covenant Christian Center exists only in Lagos. So I left, I came to town, and I was new in town. That's just the way it is. Anywhere where I arrive, body of Christ, I appear. I show up. That's the way I am. No, you see, one of the things I tell people those days is that, ask yourself, before you think I'll be committed to you till I die, ask yourself when you got to know me. First time you saw me, I was preaching. The person who taught me as a young person, I have not committed my life to him. You that met me while I was already preaching, you think you can't, you must be joking. No, you must be joking. You must be. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. That's why I tell you, listen, that's the way I was raised. To just love the Lord. I told you the other day, if you say a pastor derailed, it doesn't concern you. If he says a pastor, Banky has backslidden, waiting concern you. You just carry your Bible and go away. Before he started preaching, you believed. Is that not so? Isaiah is not going to preach again. It's his personal problem. Wish him well. May God kill him before he backslides too much. It's true. So that he won't go to hell. Let this one. No, that's my own. People say, how can a man of God fall? That's his problem. To the Lord, his God, he falls. As for me, I'm loving the Lord. I've moved on. No, I've been wondering, you start worshiping pastors. Pastors are human beings too. If you can tell lies, they can tell lies. The bad thing that some of them tell you while they are preaching, that is just the bad one I don't like. No, it's true. Say, no, a whole man of God. What is a whole man of God? It is a man, and you know, it's a man. Just like it's of God, but this one is still what? Man. No, how did I get this? You know, I was trying to explain some things. What was I trying to explain? Then I forgot. All of you hearing Jesus, don't make me forget now. Okay, so I was saying that, very importantly, that we must be one that can be corrected. Yes, I was saying, there's a story I was telling you. That so you find out that one of the reasons why people don't One of the reasons why people don't take correction is because they feel like we've done like this for a while. We are now admitting that the last few years we have been making a mistake. And I was telling you about a man who was preaching. Actually, what happened was that I swung into the matter of denominations and warning us that, look, this is not, that's not the whole, that's not what there is to life. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. So this particular man, after doing all of that, and then I used to say, this is not ministry. Okay, I told that whole story to let you know the background that I had, which made me feel like this is not preaching. This is not ministry. This is not Christianity. This is churchianity. 12 years he did it. Let me summarize the story. After he had become a big man, you know those kind of big men that fly only first class? People carry their bags. They are anointed big men. You know, you get my point. Uh-huh. Then one day they sacked him. To know, look, God is very good. I was telling you that if you don't learn the instruction, JJ, you will learn it the difficult way. What happened was that the place in which he labored for 12 years, listen, this guy is a certified medical doctor, abandoned medical practice and labored in the ministry for 12 years, and they sacked him one day with nothing. You know, some things like don't move me as a person. So they sacked you, so you are pained because we are serving him. If you are serving God, it will have pained you too much. Why did I tell the story? What he did, look, people who knew him told me that the man said by himself that what he would like to do now is to go back to all the people he had preached to tell them, I'm sorry, I lied to you. The things I preached to you were not true. I'm sorry, I thought they were true. But I have found out now that is not life. One of my friends read his writing in a newspaper once. He didn't know the story. He didn't know the background. He said, wow, this guy writes fantastically. Wow, this guy's teachings, he reads regularly in the newspaper, the guy writes. He said, look, this is a balanced gospel. The guy was talking, we were friends from campus, we went through these experiences together. I said, come, let me tell you something. I gave him the background. I said, the man learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Which takes me to the next level of how God corrects people. You will enter into trouble. Number one, God tells you, no, be so. Are you getting my point? Number two, you know what he tells you next? When you don't hear, no be so, no be so, no be so, then you enter into koto. And listen, all these gospels that are devil-centered. And then Satan came. And then the devil came. And the devil spoiled my business. And the devil came. And the devil attacked my health. And the devil came. And the devil attacked my marriage. This devil powerful. Don't you think so? A whole child of God like you. One single devil went after your business. It finished it. Went after your health. It wrecked it. This devil came. Went after your marriage. Your wife and your children have left you. This devil came. And you just came here to let people know that you still believe in God. And God is good. I say, you should know that it's not devil. You should know. There are things that devil can't do. He doesn't have that amount of power. This Satan worship that we call Christianity is around madness. Tonight, all the devils in your life, we are going to face them. You see that where I am, I will wear my shoe, begin go house. And that's rubbish. Satan, listen, I need Christians to get it clear. Satan doesn't have that amount of power. I like the way John Avanzini described it. He said in Genesis, he was called a serpent. In Revelation, he was called a dragon. Why? He said the Christians had given him so much power over the years, he grew to be a dragon from being an ordinary serpent. That was what Avanzini said. It's a kind of joke, but it's very true. There's only my friend, that's Pastor, he says once in a while, he said that one day a man was passing, one day he saw Satan sitting down crying. He said, why are you crying? He was in front of a church. Crying. He said, Satan, what is the problem? Why are you crying? He said, these people pointed at the church. Everything that goes wrong in their life, they say it's me. Even when I don't know about it. We learned the gospel that time that God never causes trouble. He's a good God. It's like telling me a good father never flogs his children. I, the Lord, I bring good, I know that he said, and I create evil. Listen, the Bible tells us clearly that God appeared to kill Moses after he commissioned Moses. The Bible says it is a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God, and he was talking to Christians. Please don't repeat it to me that God doesn't cause trouble, because he does. He said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the respect of God. It's the fear of God. He said he was heard, talking about Jesus Christ, in that he feared. Listen, don't let nobody tell me that God doesn't cause trouble. He does. Listen to me. You see that he only allows, it's called conspiracy to commit. That is, between him and Satan, they allow. No, he allows Satan to commit. That's one gospel we like to preach. It's still the same thing. It's conspiracy. Yes. Listen to me. That God doesn't cause trouble is not true. God punishes people. Do you know that? How can you punish people by not causing trouble? He said, I just allow Satan. Listen, he directs Satan where he can go, where he can't go. When it was time to attack the life of Job, he said, Satan, you can touch his goods, you can't touch him. And his children were his goods. His servants, his workers were all his goods, as far as God was concerned. So they killed all of them. No matter how much that Satan hated Job, he couldn't touch his flesh. He came back and said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, yes. He's not cursing you now because he's still healthy. Stretch your hand to touch him now and see. So God said, no problem, do it for me. Until God gave the go-ahead, Satan couldn't touch him. Are you getting my point? All this worship of Satan, you cannot rebuke a Satan that God has not rebuked. Hear that from me. You can't. You don't have the power. You don't. All this one of worshiping Satan the whole night. This, even people think it's prayer they are praying. They don't know it's acknowledging the power of the devil. All the Satans in your life, listen, I've told you that the prince of this world can come. If he has nothing in you, there's nothing he can do. What you should be praying is like David, deliver me from blood guiltiness. That's what you should be praying. Purge me and I shall be clean. Wash me with hyssop. That's what you should be praying. Search me, O Lord. That's what you should be praying. Before you start attacking Satan. A lot of these Satans, if you know how useless they are. You know, sometimes something we practice in Christianity, I ask people, read the scriptures and check where these things were recorded for our learning. The people who taught us the fundamentals of Christianity, Paul, Peter, James, John, what did they say? When they want to talk about devil, they always add it to God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil. That is, humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God is resistant to the devil. Steadfastness of faith is resistance to devil. It's not you wake up in the morning, Satan, I bind you, I bind you, I bind you. You bind him from now to tomorrow, the guy is not bound. You should know that something is wrong there. I told the story that Ken Hagin told in his book. From having deliverance meetings to having getting free meetings to having loosening meetings to having all kinds of meetings. Anointing for breakthrough meetings, anointing for release meetings, anointing for sudden thrust of abundance meeting. After everything, he asked and said, this is not right. Something is not right here. We like playing church. No, by playing church. People just like to pray against people who are not pursuing them. That's why you hear all the lies. They tell us Nigerians pray a lot, but we don't see any change. Because we are not praying, we are playing. There's a world of difference. The people who lift up hands, their hands are not holy. And they don't lift it up for cleansing. They use dirty hands to face that direction. Oh, the witch is coming from there. The witch goes, they laugh. Say, thanks for showing me your bloody hand. I'm serious. Listen, let's get back to the thing I'm saying. When God corrects people simply and they don't hear, he causes them trouble. I said she opened to the book of Job, right? Yeah, Job 33. Elihu was analyzing how God does things here from verse 13. He said, why do you complain against him that he does not give an account of all his doings? He said, indeed God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. How does he speak? In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls upon men. That's one level he uses. Then verse 16 says, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol or the grave. Now when that doesn't work, that is, God instructs him through many methods, okay, so that he might keep his life from passing over into death. Now, when that doesn't work, verse 19, he said, man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with unceasing complaint in his bones. He says, so that his life loves bread and his soul favorite food. Let me just stop there. Now, he was now describing, if you read verse 23, talking about the fact that if somebody finds an angel, somebody to bring him correction, a messenger, all right, then the person now begins to head in the direction of recovery. Then he will say that I have sinned and have done that which was not right. That is, it's so important that the man acknowledges his sin, all right, before God gives him deliverance. Now, the other scripture I want, there's a scripture I want us to read. Psalm 119. And to prove that God indeed causes trouble. You can call it allow, can call it cause. Just know that if he allows, we can rebuke that Satan. Verse 65, Psalm 119. He said, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in thy commandments. Now notice verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep thy word, or I obey thy word. He said, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Let me just stop there. He said, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Before that, he said, teach me good discernment and judgment, for I believe in thy commandments. How did I get to that position? He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now. That is, how did I come back to the position, all right, of not straying? How did I come back from the position to the position of obeying thy commandments, of believing in them? How did I come back to the position of understanding that you are good and that you do good? Simple. I said, I was afflicted. And then that returned me to the path of righteousness. Let me tell you something about Christians. You've heard that, you've heard this several times. They said, the day the man started stealing, they caught him. Unbelievers are doing it too. Nobody says anything. Are you getting me? The first day the Christian joined them, they caught all of them. It is called the disciplining of the Lord. That's all. Listen, let me tell you something about Christianity. The summary of it is that God is good. Did I hear an amen? Amen. God is very good. And the fact is that no matter what you are going through in life, God is still good. No matter what. God said, all of these things I'm doing, go and read Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, so that I might do you good at the end. He said, I made you hungry first, then I fed you with manna, that you may understand that man does not live by bread alone. That is, if you don't understand that, when I give you abundance of bread, you will think that your life is because of the bread I have given you. I don't know whether you get the point. Listen, let me say something to you practically about life. This is how it is with people that God has blessed. One day in life, there will be next to nothing that you need that you can't just call somebody and get. I don't know whether you get my point. Listen, let me give you an example. The other day, we went for a meeting and we arranged something in church, and basically it's about fundraising and stuff like that. And I told the person beside me, I said, now wow, as all this activity just to raise how much money? I said, if you had this kind of person as a friend, you know, just call him. Okay, I actually mentioned Dangote as an example. I said Dangote was your friend. Just say, well, please, we are doing this project. Give us 5 million. I'm waiting. And you know, he will write off 5 million naira and that's it. It's not an issue. Are you getting the point? You know, if a rich man, maybe a rich man's son or daughter is getting married, a big man, they can get 3 cars and wedding presents. You know, it's not an issue. Can have a whole house. Okay. Oh, my father's very good friend. Give us a present. What is it? It's a 4-bedroom bungalow in my Tama district. Yes. That is an average worker who will go to bank, Oceanic Bank, please lend me money. They are selling it. I will pay you over 25 years. They give to somebody, all right, as a wedding gift. When God blesses you in life, no, see, it's so important you understand this. God will take you to a level where you virtually don't have to bend down your head to pray about some things. You just come and say, and somebody will just come up to you. Good afternoon, sir. He said, how are you? How are you doing? How's school? He said, I've graduated. Where are you working now? Sir, you are not working yet? Wait, just pick the phone. What did you study again? You studied it. Where would you like to work? This kind of company, you tell him, okay, fine. Just check. I'll pick the phone. Hey, John, how now? Alpha, in a guest space, young, maybe I get one of my boys, the guy need work. No. Okay, I send them to you on Monday, all right? Uh-huh. Make sure you give him work. Oh. I don't want to do rubbish on here. You know you are employed, sharp. That is, there's no discussion. Look, there are people, no, that's just life. It's not, don't, You know what I call the cult of poverty. People will answer that and say, it's not fair. What do you mean by it's not fair? What do you mean by it's not fair? You went to school, is it fair? Were people not born in the heat, in the heart of the jungle of Bangladesh and they didn't go to school? You went to school, what is fair about it? Are you better than them? Life, Oswald Chambers said, life is not fair. So stop pretending it's not fair. You save up money for 2 years to buy one Tokumbo card that one Oyinbo man got tired of. So to a Nigerian who got tired of it after 2 years, and you bought it. And one man wants, one is chasing one girl. He gives her a brand new Honda just to show that he's serious. Is it fair? Don't just worry yourself. I mean, yeah. No, I told my wife, I said, look, I said, I'm glad and satisfied. I thank God for what he has done in my life. That's all I care. No, I'm serious. You know, it's good to have a right perspective. You know, the time I traveled and I was away for about 6 weeks, I was in the U.S., you know, when I came back home, I did it as God is my witness. I didn't miss the country for 1 minute. I was counting days so I can go back and see my wife. Some people say, go to anybody and say, are you sure I'm going to come back? God punish you. Why? Am I sure I'm going to come back? Are you stupid? When people are waiting for me on Saturday to preach, every time my son will call on the phone, daddy, come back today, I almost cry. He said, am I going to come back? You are going to remove my shoe, knock you for head, for even suggesting that I'm going to come back. What I'm going to say is that inside me, satisfaction, the satisfaction of full ground. Never take light. We'll pull the small tiger first. And peradventure, listen. You know, I used to ask my wife, that this one that we have generator, and there's always light in my house. Because I have different sizes. I said, you remember when we were living in Transekulu? Say, we didn't have a gen. And our area was bad. Our transformer, where the wires cut almost every other day. I said, baby, how did we survive? I'm trying to remember. Then she reminded me that we used to sleep on the balcony. I had mats. The mats were permanently laid. Then one day, my brother would come to the house. I warned him, if you go near that balcony. So he will be suffering his own heat in one corner. You know, no, it's so funny. I had to ask my wife one day, how did we survive that period? I'm trying to get the point. Because now when they take light, I'm like, whoa. I asked my cousin, is there fuel in that gen? And if there's no fuel that night, I'm going out to go and look for fuel. I said, but I was in Transekulu. I did not have a generator. I didn't have. In this Enugu, don't think when you were young. No, in this Enugu here. I'm bringing out something. You will get to a point in life. Whether Nepal works, it doesn't work. There's some people don't notice. Because some people have been mandated to kick the gen, which is absolutely silenced, once light goes off. In the same manner, you will get to a position in life where you don't have to think. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't have to pray that, oh God, this is my children as they are living. My children as they are living. You just call it, oh boy, this is my boy wants to do, he wants to become a professor. He likes science. Say, your university, I want people to employ him as a graduate assistant. Let him move up, you know, and they all instantly. And that's just life is. That's how life is. This one that you are praying to God and believing God for money for wedding. Did you hear Abraham do that? Isaac? He didn't do that. He just called Eliezer, carry all the gold necessary. When Rebecca's people saw gold, they gave her away. Fast, fast. Go, 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 go. You know how he greeted Rebecca? Studded her hands with bangles of pure gold. My master said, I should come and marry your daughter for his son. They said, is he okay? He said, if the girl just agree. The girl said, with this gold on my wrist, I agree. And it was the blessing of God on Abraham. I'm bringing out something. God said, I need to let you understand before that point. Are you getting what I'm saying? I need to let, first I make you hungry now. I feed you with manna. So that when you get there, you will remember that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. When he said that, people thought he was saying that you eat bread and you eat word. No, he's saying there is nothing your connection will do for you that I can't do double that. I need you to understand it, otherwise I take away the connection. Listen, M.K. Abiola, I don't know the reasons why he died, but I know one important reason he died. There are many reasons. But one important reason was that he opened his mouth publicly and explained that he had too much money for any spiritual force to deplete. I quoted it from one of my colleagues. He said it's not quote. I heard it. He said, I heard the program live. When I heard that, I said, this man has made a mistake. Next time, he should have just said, we thank God. What happened to him was that he thought that man doth live by bread alone. Listen, what God will do to you if you forget is that he will take your son that you felt you can connect everywhere. He will put him in jail. And nothing you do will get him out. That is, when MK Abiola died, his wife, that's an example. He made the statement. It's an expression in Yoruba land, all right? Literally means shame on money. His wife had cancer and died. He said what? Shame on money. That is, we have found out that no matter how wealthy we have become, there are things we can't do. Are you getting the point I'm making? So what God does to his children is that before I get you to that level, where you don't have to pray before you do, that is, you can afford to invest recklessly. If you lose the money, you don't feel it. They say, sir, there's a property you want to develop. It's only 200 million naira. You sign in the check and you walk away. You don't even remember. If it is now, they say, please come and invest 25,000. Say, I'm coming tomorrow. See me tomorrow now. Ashkabala tugoba. Igedo suba. Father God, is that of you or of Satan? Is he a door, a trap? In the name of Jesus, speak. Poverty. By the time we come, you will sign a check. Look, listen. When these Google boys were going to start Google, they went to the guy who started Yahoo. They told him the story. The guy said, I'm in a hurry. He wrote them a check for $100,000 and walked away. Like, he said, look, I think you guys, what they are saying, it makes sense. So he just wrote them a check. This $100,000, go ahead. And he left them. If the thing collapsed, he wouldn't have noticed. But now that it's worth billions and billions and billions of dollars, the Yahoo man owns a major chunk of Google. God said, I will bless my people to that level. He said, but I must first help them understand that it is not their connection that's doing it for them. It is the manifestation of my grace in their lives. But this is the problem. People forget. That's why he said, thou shalt remember. It is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. Are you getting my point? David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Let me tell you something. As a matter of fact, I'm not preaching good preaching. I'm being honest with you. Every experience you have in your days of little beginnings, God is using it to prepare you for the days of greatness. Right now, you have nothing to be proud about, and you are proud. You're on top of Okada. You are proud. You buy one old Tokumbo. Old. Old. The white man drove it until his soul had her satisfaction. And he sold it for cheap because he didn't have where to park it again. There are cars that Nigerians buy which are only fit for junkyards in America. And they come to church and say, praise the Lord. One of my wife's uncles told a story once. He lives in America. He lives in New York. He said he had a car. He wanted to sell it. And nobody agreed to buy it. Then finally, he wanted to dash somebody. Nobody agreed to take it. Then he drove it to a junkyard. They demanded that he paid money before they collected it. You don't get the point. A car that he drove there, they said, bring money first before we accept the car. If he had shipped the same car to Nigeria, you know he will sell it. That is what you are driving. And you are proud. You see what I'm saying? Because they see him. I will punish you first so as to remove this kind of... Because one day will come when you will fly a jet. If pride is your problem on this your old Tokumbo, what will be the issue now when I give you a jet? You buy a brand new suit made in China and you raise shoulder like this. Your leg not touch ground again. What about the day that you can call a man stay lost to your sitting room to take your measurement? What will happen? He said, guys, I get to deal with you now. So the day you buy the suit, I tear it. Don't be angry. As you put the car outside, praise God, one stupid trailer driver, we run into it, Gosa. Child of God, you know what you do? You put up your two hands and say, the Lord give it, the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That saved you. I'm telling you, before I was afflicted, he said, I went astray. Listen, you're earning 500 naira. Of all the, you know, it's very common with young women. Small money you give them. By the time they finish, weave on Q-Tex, Mary Kay powder, and shoe that nobody's noticing that they are wearing, money don't finish. You can't do anything good for anybody again. You can't give to anybody. You have no money for any other thing but to use to look good. No wahala. One day you go travel. It's only that one that contains your goods that they will take. You know what God is trying to teach you? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. You will save up money for 3 years to buy a car. 2 months later, it catches fire. Don't grumble. Next time you go out somewhere, say, praise God, there's a project we want to do this for the work of God. You will quickly give them your whole salary. Because after you saved it for 3 years, last time, what happened? Fire. He said, look, listen, some of those scriptures, this is how they enter your head. That's how they enter. When you have invested and you have lost. I said, are we okay now? Say, yes, I get the point. Before I was afflicted, you know, it was lack of affliction. That's why I went astray. Now I obey your word. Now I know something about my kids. Because they grow, like this guy that's there now. The older he grows, the more responsible he becomes. And the less you need to flog him. But periodically, he thinks man lives by bread alone. You get my point? He forgets and he strays. So periodically, we remind him who's the boss. That the boss is to be obeyed without questions. And I will explain to him, oh boy, you deliberately disobeyed. He will look. I told you not to do this and you did it. I asked you this and you first said it was this guy that didn't know it was you. Oh yeah? Lie down there. No matter the I'm sorry. I'm not even angry. I have forgiven. But so that you won't do it again, I will take the cane. You lie, you know, he's not the small ones who can, he can prostrate properly. I will whack you on the bum bum. Pwah! 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 After that, say, come. Next time that the dog talks, what do you do? Say, I obey. Children of God, do they tell lies? No. Are you a Satan's son? No. At that time, he rejects the devil instantly. Yes. No, I'm serious. That's what he meant when he said, before I was afflicted, I went what? Astray. Stray. You just forget. You forget yourself. You don't know what you are doing again. One of the things I do every time, people stop. This happens every day. People stop me. Ah, Pastor Banky, I was listening to you on Thursday. Thank you, sir. Those words were so powerful. You have changed. I met one man the other day. In fact, they had about one young man that used to record our message in Asaba. I met him last week. He will start telling you all the things that the words that you spoke had done to his life again. And I never forget. I said, Father, I give you thanks. Banky plants, everybody waters. It's God that gives the increase. People say, you have, oh God, those words, sir, you have blessed me. I say, no, God be praised. I thank God. And when I say it, I'm not telling them. I'm telling myself. And I'm telling the Lord, God, to you be the glory. I say, very fine. If you do like that, I will raise it to bigger levels. Are you getting the point I'm making? Please, what I'm saying, is it making sense here? Listen, what I've tried to say so far in this last bit is that, see, there is nothing that you are going through now that's taking God by surprise. Nothing. 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 In every situation you are in, you say, Baba God, how far? What am I supposed to learn from here? Then you first give God thanks before you remember the devil. Then when God says, rebuke the devil, now the devil, yeah, get away. Once that devil responds, you know, God rebuked him first. And God rebuked him when he saw that your heart had been, you know, retuned, correctly tuned. Remember what I was saying? That these are the ways by which God brings correction to us. That's what I'm trying to explain. Yes, God causes people trouble. And remember what I said last time? Stop blaming other people. You ask yourself, why am I subject to his power? That is the story that happened to me once in Enugu here. I've told the story a number of times. It was very interesting. Let me repeat it again. This junction down here, there's one traffic warden there. The man has a big belly like this. Many years ago, the man, for the first time in my life actually, I was arrested by a traffic warden. Now, I think he was lying or whatever it is. But you know what happened actually? That on the physical realm, we were quarreling and arguing. But because of the way God had taught me, what I was doing was I was praying, what is going on here? And I instantly took correction. You know what happened? At the end of New Haven, the other end, my mechanic was there. I went to his workshop to fix something in my car. And there was an elderly man sitting down waiting for his car to be fixed. And the guy said, "Banky, please, can you help me drop this man at home?" I said, "I'm going somewhere." He said, "Okay, when you finish now, can you come back?" I said, "I will." So I went to where I was going. Then, when I finished what I was doing, I said, "Will that man still be there waiting for me?" "I beg, just let me go my way." So I started going my way. I was living in Transekulu. That's why I got to that traffic, that junction. And that traffic warden stopped me and jumped to my car for passing when I was not passed, for moving when I was not told to move, whatever the offense. Now, after we quarreled for a few minutes, you know what was coming to my mind? Instantly, before I was afflicted, I went astray. All I was remembering was that I promised somebody I would come back. And I didn't. And this man is the angel of God. He has sent to redirect me in the path of righteousness for his own namesake. So after the man and I, of course, his man said, "Okay, let us settle this. I'm not settling anything." So he came down from my car very angrily. And then you know what I did? You think I blamed the man? I didn't too. I turned my car. I used the other express, I just hit the express and went to the other end of New Haven, entered the man's shop. Behold, the elderly man was sitting down there, jejeli, waiting for the young man who said he would come back. Ha! I said, "Father, thank you for that traffic warden. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for that traffic warden." So I told the man, enter. He said, "Please, where's your house, sir?" He said, "Emene." I turned. "To Emene we go." "Well, God," they said, "you can stop here." I said, "No, sir. Where is your? I want to drop you at your gate." I kept on driving until finally the man said, "Okay, it's okay now." I said, "Are you sure you're all right, sir?" He said, "Yes." You're sure this? I don't have to drive you further." The man said, "No, that my house is just down here. Just stop at this junction. You don't have to walk, drive down the bad road." I said, "Okay, sir." I turned around. Before I was afflicted, I was going astray to my house. That's what I mean by affliction. Are you getting my point? There are people that you are not supposed to do business with. Do with. We have told you, you won't hear. No problem. Do with them first. Then your 6 months savings will vanish in 6 hours. Next time they say, "Do not be on equally yoke with an unbeliever," you will agree sharp. Because last time, you know how long it took. In fact, it is worse when you borrow the money from the bank. You are still repaying the bank till today. And let me tell you something about God. God is wonderful. All the years that the locusts ate and the canker worm and the palmer worm, my great army that I sent in the midst of you, God can restore to you double in 1 year. Once he can get you to just acknowledge that I was wrong, I was afflicted, not because the man is wicked, but because I went astray. The problem with us as people is that we blame the people that God used to afflict us, saying it is the devil. It is the devil. Are you getting my point? We don't look inwards and say, "Search me, O Lord, and check whether there is any hurtful thing within me." We blame everybody. The pastor was telling you about, probably you go around blaming. These great men of God are wicked. After serving him for 12 years, they sacked me one day without a card. Nothing. They left me back in square one. God will say, "Look, don't worry. It's not the man that sacked you. I now have shown you that for 12 years you were serving yourself. 12 years, you were on your own mission. And if you just say, 'Lord, I am sorry. I was afflicted because I went astray. Now I am ready to obey.'" Listen, the breakthrough will give you in 2 years. Those who have worked for 20 years won't have it. Listen, with the child of God, I've told you, he said, "In repentance and in rest will you be saved." Did you hear that? In repentance, not in struggle, but in what? In repentance and in rest you will be saved. Have you learned anything today? I said, have you learned anything today? In that case, let's begin to give the Lord thanks.